This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Charleston, South Carolina. A quiet prayer meeting and shots heard round the world.
We have 9 victims in this heinous crime that has been committed.
Pray for the family, Father God. They got a long road ahead.
He's a white male. He's a younger white male.
I'm scared to talk about the real issue, which is rape.
I do believe this was a hate crime.
Yeah. That's what we duck around from. We don't want to talk about these issues, and they're here. They're in our community.
Heartbreaking scene I have never witnessed in my life.
We want the entire community to pray for safety for our people, and that we would hope that this person who has committed this heinous crime, which is a hate crime, be brought to justice.
We are communities trying to live and survive. Why do we have to live like this?
Voices there reacting to the shooting last night at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. You heard the mayor of Charleston, the chief of police, church elders, and others. The gunman, Dylan Storm Roth, just 21, was arrested by police in North Carolina today. At the White House, President Obama emotionally described the AME Church in Charleston as a sacred place because of its history and importance to the community.
There is something particularly heartbreaking about a death happening in a place in which we seek solace and we seek peace, in a place of worship.
That's President Obama speaking earlier today. Roff reportedly used a gun his father gave him on his 21st birthday. In a photo on his Facebook page, he's seen wearing a jacket with the flag of apartheid-era South Africa and wearing another flag depicting that of white rule Rhodesia, now called Zimbabwe. Alex Sands, reporter for the Associated Press in Charleston, spoke to us earlier today, just blocks from the church.
So many questions and people trying to search for answers. As we heard, 3 men, 6 women, all killed at the church last night. A striking sight this morning at the site of the shooting, just about a half a block from the church. Several women walked over just before 8:15, 8:30 this morning with flowers in their hands. And they gathered, they looked around and stopped at the police perimeter. And they looked at each other and went ahead and placed the flowers. They hugged and began to pray. People around stopped, watched, and joined them. And that's a sign of what people are doing in Charleston today. They're coming together, trying to get a better sense of what's happened, coming together in prayer as they search for answers.
The intrusion on this prayer service is in some ways a flashback to the kinds of violence in the night that we associate with the period prior to the Civil War or even the Civil Rights Movement in the early part of the 20th century. This has to bring back some real nightmares for the community.
And it has, especially for many of the pastors that we spoke with last night. Several of them, probably a dozen or so, had an impromptu prayer circle just about a block or so from where this happened yesterday. And that's what they said. This harkens back to a time many years ago where these things happened. And they're confused, as many people here are, that this is happening and has happened in 2015. They just don't know why. And that is something that they're trying to understand.
Talking with Alex Sands, who's a reporter for the Associated Press in Charleston, reacting, if you're just joining us, to the shooting overnight. Tell us how they've been responding.
The FBI is now involved, and the Justice Department also said earlier today that federal officials have opened a hate crime investigation into this. Last night, the police chief said he had no doubt that's what this was. Now federal officials will come in and see exactly what led up to this and where we go from here.
On that hate crime issue, Alex, and I want you to hold on because we're going to bring another voice into this conversation, but on the hate crime question, can you confirm reports from the scene and witnesses who say this gunman sat in the church for possibly an hour?
That was discussed during a press conference earlier today with the police chief and the mayor. Apparently, from what they're hearing and what they told us at a briefing earlier today, this person was in that church for about an hour and may have even joined these people who were inside the church during this prayer meeting before opening fire. And that of course, has devastated people who were here, thinking that the person who did this was there speaking to them and then did that.
One of the dead, we understand, is the pastor in the church. Again, this shooting took place at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. We're talking with Alex Sands, reporter for the Associated Press, very close to the church where the shooting took place in Charleston. Joining us now from Columbia, South Carolina, is Robert Green II, who's a PhD student at the University of South Carolina, specializing in the history of the American South. And the name of this church, Robert Green, is very familiar to you.
Most definitely. It is a church that has long been important in the African-American community. It's been around in some form or fashion since 1816. And essentially, the Emmanuel AME Church has been the site of African-American resistance in Charleston to white supremacy and to Jim Crow segregation for almost, well, essentially 200 years now.
There's no way this was an accidental target. This isn't like wandering into a 7-Eleven.
Oh, not at all. I mean, even if the gunmen targeted a black church on a Wednesday night during Bible study, that would have enough symbolism as it is. But the target Emmanuel AME Church is, I find it highly unlikely to be a coincidence.
What is the history of this church? You mentioned it's been around since 1816 when you describe it being a center of African-American resistance in the early civil rights movement and post-Reconstruction and the Civil War, for that matter. What sort of events are you referring to?
Oh, most definitely. Well, for one thing, one of the co-founders of the church was a man named Denmark Vesey, who is best known for instigating a potential revolt in South Carolina against slavery in 1822. Now, when this plot was discovered by the authorities, Vesey was not surprisingly executed, and the church itself was burned to the ground. Now, Emmanuel AME has a particular significance because the church has been destroyed several times, and each time the congregation has always tried to bring it back from the dead, whether it be meeting underground during the Civil War, or whether rebuilding after an earthquake in the 1880s, Emmanuel AME has always been a symbol of hope. In the 1960s, as you alluded to earlier, Martin Luther King Jr. himself spoke at the church, and Coretta Scott King spoke there as well, both times speaking to large mass rallies in Charleston.
So, Robert Green II, you're a PhD student. You're
yes.
Young, your personal emotional reactions to what's going on today?
To say the least, it's gut-wrenching. As Mr. Sands mentioned earlier, and as you also mentioned, things like this really are not supposed to happen anymore. And yet, seeing the images on the news last night and early this morning, you can't help but think back to the four little girls in Birmingham in 1963 or a wide variety of other racial incidents. Suffice to say, I'm just dumbfounded right now.
Alex Sands, how widely known is the history that Robert Green mentions there? Is it understood that this church has this kind of historical significance among people in Charleston?
I think certainly in the city itself, it's fair to say that. The church, rather, has a very deep and long history, and people here are aware of it. And that is certainly something that even last night, hours after this happened, there was talk of whether that had something to do with this. And certainly part of the conversation that continues today here in Charleston.
How mobilized is the African-American community in Charleston? And how likely is it that, the state senator, Republican Senator Scott has already tweeted on this subject? I suspect we will see politicians and Jeb Bush canceling a campaign event, I understand. What are the wider implications and repercussions?
I think we have to remember that this is still an area where the scars and the wounds from the Walter Scott shooting are still fresh. And that was certainly reminded of that last night, that this community is still healing from that. And though while this is different in how it happened and where it happened and the people involved, there is still a sense that race is still a very real concern and race relations are a concern for people here in Charleston. And they're afraid that this is now opening possibly a target for other churches. Someone I spoke with told me that people are afraid now in some circles to go to church, always thought to be a safe haven, a place where these things just don't happen.
Alex, before we go, how organized, and the Associated Press covers this all the time, how organized is the vestiges of the white supremacist movement in South Carolina? How likely is it that, they will either deny any involvement or speak up over this?
You know, it's too soon to say that. We've asked that question, and no one can quite give us an exact answer right now. Certainly across the South, it's known to many people who live and report in these different states that there is still a very different America than what perhaps other people in the Northeast or out West may realize. The South still has, in some quarters, very strong ties to its past. And by that, I mean that people and some of their viewpoints, some would say, haven't quite evolved with the rest of the country when it comes to race relations and things along those lines. So certainly that is something that federal authorities and authorities here in South Carolina will explore as the days go on. But nothing that we know right now that can specifically link that to the shooting at the church.
Alex Sands is a reporter for the Associated Press, doing great work for us here on The Takeaway in Charleston, South Carolina. Alex, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Some final thoughts from you, Robert Greene II?
Yes. Well, again, I hope that this is a moment where black and white Charlestonians will come together and really try to solve some of the racial divisions that have plagued Charleston for a long, long time. As Mr. Sands mentioned earlier, just a few months ago, we had the shooting death of Walter Scott in North Charleston. Suffice to say, this is a terrible event, but Emmanuel AME, I'm sure, will rise from this as it has in the past.
Robert Greene II is a PhD student at the University of South Carolina, specializing in the history of the American South. Robert, thanks so much.
Thank you.
My name is J.P. Paulus from the Southside neighborhood of Chatham in Chicago, Illinois. I hope that the media really does focus on using this as talking about this as a terrorist type of situation, and in the same way they would if the races were reversed.
Dave on Facebook adds this to our conversation. This church on this date, these are not coincidences, and this act was meant to send a larger message, terrorism, plain and simple. Shannon writes, this is so awful. My heart goes out to the families and the community.
Hi, this is Don Bagwell in Somerville, South Carolina, near Charleston. We're stunned and heartbroken in Charleston this morning, and we're overwhelmed by the outpouring of condolences. What we know is these are our friends and neighbors. A church is deeply wounded, and a city that knows its pain too well is reeling. Our focus right now in Charleston is on securing our community and trying to offer comfort to grieving families, and we don't really have a lot of details right now. But we do ask that people of goodwill avoid any speculation and theories until more facts are known.
Don from Charleston. We thank Don and all of our listeners there in Charleston, South Carolina. David writes on Facebook, isn't all premeditated murder out of hate? Apparently, it's not yet known if the gunman knew anyone personally or if it was impersonal. Regardless, anyone who would kill like this is deranged. This is heartbreaking. Ed Lake writes, stop the hate, America. Thinking of this week, the racial narrative, a white woman trying to pass as black earlier this week, one conversation, a shooting in the South, another conversation. There's an African-American in the White House in this 2015 year. What would our ancestors recognize about our national struggle with race if they could witness the events of this week and see our world? What would shock or puzzle them? We love your conversation, your voices. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.